Hello, this is Tanis from Inner Circle Sanctuary, our mother coven here in Las Vegas, Nevada, and it is my great fortune and luck to be talking to world-famous author, longtime witch and occultist, founder of several different magical orders, Wicca traditions, and one-time Las Vegas resident and now resident of Canada, the incredible Tarot Star. Tarot Star, good morning. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, just getting older.
I call that vintage. So how are you doing in the age of this coronavirus? Have you been keeping safe?
Well, I'm not going into the shop to do readings for customers right at the moment these days. I'm just pretty much staying home.
And what shop is that, sir?
The Occult Shop in Toronto.
The Occult Shop in Toronto. And you have been the reader there for how many years now?
Well, they brought me to Canada in 1989. And I worked in their retail sales department for many years until I took my veterans pension retirement, and that's been about over 20 years. And so I've been staying there as a reader after retirement.
That's awesome. And when you say they brought you there, who brought you there?
Well, Richard James, the owner of the Occult Shop.
So that,
he advertised that is- in... He advertised in Circle Sanctuary News. I answered the ad. He sent me a plane ticket. And I came to Toronto and been here ever since.
That is so awesome. I just see people out there saying, wait a second, somebody put an ad and then put an ad in a world famous pagan magazine and then flew you out on their dime to work at their shop. That must really say something about how awesome you are as a reader.
Well, I had already been a published author.
Right.
My books had come out, and since he sells occult supplies and all that stuff, he sells those books too. So he recognized the name, and that's why I got hired for here.
And that's a brilliant business decision, too.
Yeah.
So, and then you also said that you're taking a veteran's pension. So you served in the United States Army. Was that Vietnam era?
It was the Vietnam War era, yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you read the bio on the back of my book, I was in the Army Security Agency for Voice Intercept Analyst.
Uh-huh.
And recording and translating conversations on the East German Communist Party's radio telephone system.
Wow. And that part of your bio, as you mentioned, is on the back of your Sacred Pentagraph books, which we're definitely going to talk about here in a minute. When I read those, I wonder if, it really sounds like for once the military got matched up a person's interests and talents with the career field well for once. Because you're such a prolific writer and so creative a writer, and I was wondering if you think that your job with languages in any way affected your eventual authoring of so many books?
Well, I don't know. When I went into the Army Security Agency in 1963. And the Army Security Agency is classified information.
Uh-huh.
I was sent to study at National Security Agency at Fort Meade, Maryland, and developed the skills for voice intercept analysis.
Wow.
And in both German and being able to identify Russian military traffic also at that time.
Wow. And that was a big deal back then with Berlin and the airlift and the wall and the cold.
Oh yeah, the wall went up in 61, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Just an amazing background. Now to get to the books you've written, and especially, like, I am just blown away by your two-volume set on the sacred pentagraph tradition. Many of us have been buying your books on spellcraft and things like that for many years, oil recipes, your magical formulary, and then the sacred pentagraph comes out, and it is just there's so much information, I don't know where to start, kind of. It's a complete turnkey system of Wicca that anybody could start their own coven or their own practices. I think it's really amazing.
It's how to set up a craft coven, sort of along the lines of an occult lodge, with degrees in the craft and rising on the degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, there was so many big shirts, big frogs in little ponds back then.
Yeah.
And they were all egos and various spats going on back and forth.
Right.
And so those of us at the Bell Book and Candle Shop in Las Vegas we tried to get rid of those witch wars and that kind of stuff that was going on in those days.
Right.
There were just too many inflated egos around the craft then.
Yes.
The Bell Book and Candle Shop with Charmaine Day.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote the Magic Candle book.
Right. Another great book.
I worked with her the last 10 years of her life. Yeah. So.
That's awesome. I'd like to ask you about some of the personalities in Las Vegas back then, but real quick. So the Bell Book and Candle closed finally in 2014 out here in Las Vegas. It was that.
Well, the thing. Yeah. Well, she opened that. They came from Houston, Texas, Charmaine and her husband. They were friends with Sybil Leek. And so they opened the Bell Book and Candle Shop. And it was originally at the 1400 block Las Vegas Boulevard South.
Yes.
And then it moved to the 1500 block of East Charleston,
mm-hmm.
right next to the bank on the corner at 15th Street.
Right.
There was a building there with a shop in the bottom, on the bottom floor. There was residences upstairs and a shop at the bottom. But that building's long since been taken down.
Mm.
Then they moved down to the 1700 block of East Charleston.
Yeah.
To the shop front there. But 82 was a bad year. We lost Criswell of Criswell Predicts and Ed Wood movie fame.
Uh-huh.
We lost Sybil. We lost Charmaine.
Right.
All in that same year.
That was a bad year.
So the Charmaine's husband ran the Bell Book and Candle Shop there for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sold it to a man called Lucky Simone.
Right.
And he ran it for years. They also had a shop fire there. But it was got it restored. But he couldn't keep up the payments
right
for the rent. So it was taken over by a relative of Jerome Criswell. And she ran it for a number of years until she passed. Yeah.
And that was my high priestess, Robin Criswell.
But yeah.
The way I found the craft and magic was at Bell Book and Candle after Lucky had bought it, but Steve Day was still working there. So it was actually...
Lucky kept Steve on because Steve ran the business and Lucky got to play Mr. Big Shot.
Right. Right. The odd thing is, I went down there I don't know how many times buying books and buying supplies and stuff like that just on my own, always with Steve. And when Lucky was actually in the shop, it was as if he kept his back to me. It was as if there was just something, like, I don't know. It was an odd thing. He even came, like, Steve asked him a question one time while I was there for me. And it was as if Lucky sidled up to Steve, but kept his back to me and didn't want anything to do with me. It was odd. But anyway, yeah, so you were a mover and shaker of the Las Vegas occult and craft scene back then. You had your own shop. You started...
Well, over on... I guess it was Bruce Street.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce and Fremont area.
Okay.
There was a little building, little shop I had, what was called the Ye Olde Herb Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get my supplies from the suppliers in Los Angeles for candles and just regular. I had a little occult shop there going for a while.
Yeah. And with,
called the Ye Olde Herb Doctor.
Right. And I think, well, I got here in 89, which is the year you left for Canada. So I wasn't able to get to your shop. When did you close that up?
Well, the Ye Olde Herb Doctor, well, let's see. Well, the
it's okay.
Business fell up. There was that big culinary strike.
Right.
And all the business, all the small businesses suffered because most of your clientele were culinary workers.
Yeah.
In that vast union.
Right.
And so the cash flow in Las Vegas suffered. All over, right across.
Sure.
For everyday people.
I think.
And so a lot of little businesses just couldn't survive.
Yeah.
Moved out on Boulder Highway and took a job with, Robert Lawson's The Psychic Eye.
Right.
So I was there as their retail sales.
Uh-huh.
So I worked for him for a while. And then that's where I saw the ad in Circle Sanctuary News.
That's so interesting.
I answered the ad and
yeah,
got sent my plane ticket to Toronto.
Oh, that's awesome. I think when I first got here, that culinary strike was still going on. I think it spanned for several years, and of course, still have problems with some of the major casino companies out here not taking care of their people. I missed you at Psychic Eye too. I mean, I found out about spring of 89 is when I first found my way to Bell Book and Candle. So I missed you at Psychic Eye, but of course they're still going in town too. Different locations, but we have several Psychic Eyes around town.
And well, yeah, they were first in the commercial center there.
Right, right.
Then they opened several branches.
Mm-hmm. And I drive past the locations of Bell Book and Candle every once in a while too. The last location is still there in a strip mall along Charleston, and it's a craft, like, you know, arts and crafts type store now. But I believe it's the first location is still up but abandoned and for sale, which is a sliver type building along Las Vegas Boulevard and I think 4th Street.
It's in the 14. They were originally in the 1400 block of Las Vegas Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean it might be a different building. You know, how Vegas is knocking things down and rebuilding them, but there is still a building there that every once in a while I go. I think I drive past and I think the original Bell Book and Candle was there. So, you started the All Saints Church of Mystic Science. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, okay. All Saints Church of Mystic Science. Okay. Well, there was kind of a dispute over that.
Oh?
Between Lady Laura Letagis and myself. She was one of the founders of the church.
Uh-huh.
And Stephen Charmaine, they sort of envisioned ordination mill like that church in California.
Right, the Universal Life.
That'll ordain you as anything for their fee.
Right.
And you're covered by their tax exempt as long as you keep registered with them.
Okay.
So, Stephen Charmaine figured we could do that with a church in Nevada. Since it's easier to get corporate status in Nevada.
Right.
So they made the church. They were thinking of making it an ordination mill.
Mm-hmm.
And Lady Laura and myself just didn't like that kind of an idea or association.
Sure.
So we carried on, created the church with congregation, meeting at the old building at Kent and Carson, the old church building there.
Oh, wow.
That's since gone. It's gone too, I think, now.
Yeah.
So we had the church in there. We were renting that the church space there. So we had a pretty good sizable group for that.
Uh-huh. And this was about what, 1976, 1977?
Yeah, the late 70s.
Mm-hmm. Did you have the sacred pentagraph tradition more in mind than a ordination mill? Is that what you and Lady Laura had more in mind?
Yes. We were we were fleshing out the Sacred Pentagraph system.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when Stephen Charmaine were still involved with it, Sybil Leek would come around the Bell, Book, and Candle to visit with Sybil.
Uh-huh.
And so she was a kibitzer. She wasn't a party to it, but she would offer insight into craft stuff.
Okay.
So the Sacred Pentagraph has sort of input by Sybil, but nobody's going to be trying to say there's initiations by Sybil Leek. That's a lot of people were doing that in those days. But it was a joke. Sybil and Charmaine would laugh about these initiations they were they were asked to perform.
Uh-huh.
People would come up, "Oh, Sybil, you just got to initiate me or I'll just die." the psychic gushes, you know.
Uh-huh.
So what she would do is spin them around thrice Wiedersens and say, "You're a witch, you're a witch, you're a witch." And they'd go off on with high hopes getting an initiation by Sybil Leek.
Uh-huh.
So they used to just laugh over those things.
Well, and realistically, some people, that is all they would want, right? You were providing a service in that respect.
I didn't catch that. What was it?
I said they were providing a service in some respect, because a lot of people, that probably is all they want.
Yeah. Well, it was a joke to them, so.
Yeah. You do make mention several times through the Sacred Pentagraph books that if you're not willing to put in the work, look somewhere else. Do something.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
There's someplace else in the craft for you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to work at a system, start it at the beginning and work it all the way through.
Yeah, and there's so much good material to work through in the Sacred Pentagraph tradition. So many ritual ideas, so many just advice and pointers. I mean, it's an incredible system that you have on your website, witchworld109.com, that people can purchase there and get it directly to their email. Or it has been printed by Left Hand Press in two beautiful volumes that are available on Amazon and I believe Barnes & Noble too. And they did a really good job with it. I did both. I like the big format of printing out your Sacred Pentagraph work, and I've got it in a binder. And then I got the books, and they did just a really beautiful job with it.
Uh-huh.
Well, highly, highly suggested for people out there who are looking for a tradition that will keep them busy, keep them thinking, and keep them working magic and doing the work with the gods and goddesses. It's just incredible.
Are you the one that runs the Sacred Pentagraph site on Facebook?
No, sir. The Sacred Pent. I was going to ask you about that. Thorn Nightwind is the priest who runs the Sacred Pentagraph Facebook page, as well as other ones.
That's Matt Dogenbaugh.
Correct. Yeah, and he's definitely putting out the good word about the Sacred Pentagraph tradition and posting lots of pictures of things they do. And it's awesome. Along those lines, another group that you mentioned quite a bit is Star Meadow. Can you tell us about that?
Star Meadow.
Well, I see.
Oh, well, that was the name of the... That was the name of the coven that was operating out of the Bell Book and Candle Shop.
Okay. Nice. So, as the father of these traditions, and seeing that they are still being worked in the world and growing, I would hope and assume that that gives you a good sense of pride in your work.
Oh, well, I try not to be a stuffed shirt, so.
But we certainly appreciate it. And one of the things that I think is so great about so many of the things you've written is you can really start with the basics and really progress in a systematic, logical, step-by-step method. So for example, you wrote a book for solo witches, and it, eight Sabbats for solo witches. And so if you're all alone and want to get to know the Sabbats and the deities and, you know, what's going on through that wheel of the years, that's a great book to start. Now, it's not in press right now, but I'm really hoping it is because it's such good material. And then with your Book of Shadows, there's in the back, Rituals for a Coven of Three.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, the Sacred Pentagraph tradition and the books for the Sacred Pentagraph, which fully fleshes out really any group, what any group would need to know to grow, to thrive. And so did you see this whole tradition kind of in your mind's eye and then write it down, or was it learning by practicing or a mixture of both? How did it all come to be?
Well, I don't know. I had a night job at the time and a lot of time with nothing happening, so I would just write.
Mm-hmm.
And the ideas just seem to flow. I don't like to use the idea channeling,
mm-hmm.
but it's just sort of an inspiration that just seemed to come across the path through my writing. So,
and a lot of
the ideas just developed into those two handwritten copies,
uh-huh.
the works of the high priest and the works of the high priestess.
Mm-hmm. And those are in the Sacred Pentagraph book, volume one, and are just fantastic. And it's just super interesting, and it makes total sense how you have the works of the high priest are the solar festivals of the year, being the equinoxes and solstices, and the works of the high priestess being the terrestrial Sabbats of Candlemas, Midsummer, Lammas, and Samhain or Hallowmas.
The quarter and cross-quarter days.
Yeah.
The sun sets the order for the quarter days, and 6 weeks later, the earth responds with the cross-quarter.
Mm-hmm.
As the seasonal changes.
Yeah, it's beautiful how you have it set up. And you also have in the Sacred Pentagraph ritual suggestions and ideas, but fully fleshed out scripts if people want to use them for all the different new moons and full moons throughout the year.
Yeah.
So a lot of the spell books that you wrote, my beautiful friend, Lady Iris, Kate up in Canada, who introduced me to you, said that many of the spells in your spellcraft books were from customers coming into Bell Book and Candle and asking you how to magically solve some of the problems that they had.
So, yes, and also problems revealed during tarot reads, yeah.
So I think one of the things that we definitely have run into out here, especially coming from what, you know, we could say is a candle shop tradition, so many people aspire to someday owning a candle shop, maybe being the reader there, and I was quickly disabused of that notion by, you know, working with my high priestess a few times in the Bell Book and Candle in its later days. But maybe you could give us some insight on what that is like.
That was a little complicated.
It's okay.
I'm having a little difficulty hearing.
I apologize. Can you tell us what it's like to work in a candle shop and with the problems people have and the advice they come to you seeking?
Oh, well, the tarot readers like the poor man's psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
And you get people get a reading, and any problems in their life seems to show up during the tarot. The tarot is very insightful.
Uh-huh.
And then you can also do spreads to find out how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And that'll suggest remedies that you can recommend through the merchandise that that an occult shop sells.
Right. From what
and my spell books were really written for the trade to recommend products available through the occult supplies trade.
Right. And I know a lot of the oil recipes that we used in Bell Book and Candle in the later days are from your witch's formulary and spell book, and some of your other books as well. And they are just fantastic oil recipes. They smell incredible, and the associations with the ingredients are just spot on as well.
Yeah, they are. The oil formulary was used by the by Charmaine at the Bell Book and Candle.
Mm-hmm.
But she had a previous association with, I think, something called Blue Star.
Oh, okay.
And they had a rudimentary oil formulary, and then Bell Book and Candle expanded on that formulary over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's formulas for things that have been passed around and sort of improved upon or expanded. So it's got quite a track record.
Absolutely. And the techniques and so many of your spell books, they're not only effective, but they're very fun to do. And I attribute that a lot to the way you write so often in rhyme, and the use of the old fanciful type of English that puts you in a magical frame of mind.
Yeah, basically, because that's where magic originates, is in the mind.
Right.
You got to stoke it up and let it run.
Right. So what we saw in Bell Book and Candle was love and money spells were the top sellers, but then clearly there were people that wanted to do breakup spells and hexes and bad magic. Would you say that was about accurate in your time in Las Vegas?
Oh, yeah. Love, luck, money. All the basics. And how to get back at enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And then how to get rid of the Ooga Boogas.
Uh-huh, for sure. Is that about the same in Canada? Or is it a different crowd of people?
No, basically Canadians are pretty much Americanized, you might say, culturally. The culture of North America is pretty much similar.
Okay.
But there's just sort of a difference in attitudes for certain things, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And much better weather in Canada.
Well, basically my pension stretches farther in Canada. That's why I stay.
Ah, very good.
Converted into Canadian, it gives me a sizable amount of money each month.
Mm-hmm. I've contacted you a few times, and you've been very nice to answer me and talk about some a little bit about Las Vegas history in the occult world. And my priestess in 1991 paid off the back fees for the All Saints Church of Mystic Science and probably some extra to Steve Day to start it back up again, which they did in the 90s. And it was the basis of our church status for Temple of the Inner Circle. And so it's, even though it's just legal documentation that we have some link to you and the work you did in the 70s, we're very happy about that we have some link to you at all and the work that you did.
What's that?
Well, in the 90s, we had legal documentation that you started basically in the 70s with All Saints Church Science. And we were had church status for a while too. So it was, even though we are not the same coven, it was as if we had some kind of link to you and the work that you did in the 70s.
Okay.
And did you had talked about the Berte Specialties shop, which when I was out here was on West Charleston around Rancho, and how they would have their coven ladies dress in Egyptian and be out on the sidewalk trying to get business into the store. And not too long after that, we found pictures of the ladies dressed in Egyptian, but I think at the Rosicrucian Center that used to be right off of Charleston. So it was...
Well, Berto used to be on Fremont Street.
Oh, is that right?
And in the heat of summer, those poor gals had to wear his sandwich boards and dress up like Egyptians.
Right.
And wander up and down hot Fremont Street, advertising his shop.
I think by the time that I was stationed here, the shop had moved to Charleston just west of Rancho. And when I stopped in there, because it was still listed in the yellow pages as a metaphysical shop, or a cult shop. It was mostly like magnetic bracelets and massage chairs.
Well, yeah, he went for the New Age stuff in a big way.
Uh huh. That was super interesting. Was the how would you describe the occult scene in Las Vegas in the 70s?
Oh, that's in the 70s. Well,
or into the 80s.
That's when there were the big frogs in little ponds and the stupid witch wars that were going on.
Even
because of people's inflated egos, yeah.
How have you seen things change, or have they, over the years?
Well, I don't know. I don't get much contact with the craft anymore these days. I just go into the occult shop and do my tarot reads for my clients. And I don't really hear anything going on in the craft. So I really don't know what the status is today.
Well, hopefully that will change somewhat if people know that you are there at the occult shop and know more about your books. I think they would be much better off.
Yeah, well, that's why I got them published, to get the information out circulating in the craft and let it work its magic.
And it does, absolutely. There are several books that you have talked about getting republished that are, you know, out of print right now. And things like the book for the solo witches. Is it possible to get those reprinted and new editions sometime soon? Because they're such good material.
Well, I was trying to get a hold of the Book of Shadows publisher is no longer in business.
Uh-huh.
But the other stuff is available through Original Publishing in New York.
Oh, okay.
But I think they got bought up by International Imports.
Oh, okay.
So they should have the copyrights or the whatever, whether they want to republish them or not. You have to badger International Imports.
Gotcha. And I'm sure you heard about the Anariva company closing up shop, but a company called Espiritu using a lot
a
of...
A company
those...
called the what?
Espiritu taking over for Anariva products.
Well, that's International Imports, isn't it? Anariva products.
And we used quite a bit of those when we formulated the oils with your recipes. Those are, you know, some of the things, more candle shop news that I'm sure you've been aware of for a long time, dealing with the publishers and producers and of the occult world.
Those minor books were published by International Imports. I don't know how they could be. You have to contact them and see if they're interested in redoing them.
Right.
Well, but if after so many years the copyright runs out, then it becomes free game, I guess.
Well, and the most direct place of getting the Sacred Pentagraph tradition is right on your right on your website, witchworld109.com, which is where I got them. Maybe is there any possibility of adding some of your books to witchworld109.com?
That's what I'm planning on doing. but right now I'm hunkering down because of this virus.
Absolutely.
But I'm planning on, as soon as it's able to, things sort of get back to normal, is get my computer friend to help me scan in and post a lot of things onto Witch World 109.
And Lady Iris...
That's my future project.
Well, that's awesome. We'll look forward to that. That's perfect. Lady Iris told me that you use 109 because that was the address of, was it the Wiccan Church of Canada? Or you mentioned it in one of your books that it was pagan paradise.
Oh, yeah. That's the craft group that Richard and Tamara James run. They're the owners of the occult shop in Toronto.
Uh-huh.
And the Wiccan Church of Canada is their pagan group. It's over the years, the population of the group has raised and lowered, and so.
And you have ritual scripts from some of the rituals that you've worked with them from the early 2000s in the Sacred Pentagraph book as well.
Yeah, I was taken on as associate clergy for the Wiccan Church of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So occasionally I would do Sacred Pentagraph rituals for the meeting services for the Wiccan Church of Canada, yeah.
Just a personal question, which tarot deck do you use for reading for clients?
What decks do I do for reading tarot?
Yes.
Okay. I keep separate decks, one reading for men and one reading for women.
Wow.
Hanson Roberts to read for women. And a new Palladini deck for reading for men.
Interesting. And
they seem to pick up the vibes better.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, and you get better results, maybe more specific?
Well, no, the cards just seem to pick up the vibes of the querent. The Hanson Roberts just seems to fit the feminine mindset, and the new Palladini picks up the masculine energies.
Oh, that's so cool. That's really cool. And in the Sacred Pentagraph book, in the cornucopia section of the book, I believe you talk about using playing cards for divination, and you have...
Well, yeah, they're the original way to learn to read cards, yeah, the playing cards.
And
they were used before tarot became widespread.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a system of reading the playing cards in that, yeah.
And you have other forms of divination in there, including a set of runes that is really cool too. Do you? What can you tell us about those?
Okay, well, those were just part of symbols that came through when I was writing the Sacred Pentagraph stuff. They just seemed to reveal themselves. So that's the collection of those runes there.
And magically speaking, your methods of invoking and dismissing make a lot of sense, and you explain them perfectly and clearly, but they are very different from people who practice Gardnerian style Wicca, which seems to be based on Golden Dawn type of techniques, where Golden Dawn would go Jeshel to invoke, you go Widdershins. Maybe you can explain that to us.
Okay, the key is in the pentagram.
Mm-hmm.
Draw an invoking pentagram and you end up creating a Widdershins motion on the ether.
Mm-hmm.
Draw a banishing pentagram and you end up creating a diesel motion on the ether.
Mm-hmm.
The banishing cleanses the space, but there's nothing in it. It gives you a clean space where the Widdershins motion calls in what you're invoking.
Mm-hmm.
So into a specific space. So you just have to go by the flow created by the pentagrams that you draw in the ether.
And it's very effective, as anybody who has done the rituals as you write them knows. That's very effective.
Well, the hour is beginning to wane.
Yes. Thank you very much for taking this time to talk to me, Tarot Star. I greatly appreciate it. Is there anything you'd like to say before we say goodbye?
Well, basically, practice your craft as you're inspired to, and it'll grow from there. Blessed be all.
Blessed be those that bless us. Thank you very much, Tarot Star.
Okay.